In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, we always tell you, we firmly believe that you are here. Wherever each one of us is, you are here. You are there in our soul, in the state of grace. You are here watching over us in your loving providence, holding us in our being, calling us to eternal life with you. You are always here, walking beside us on the dusty road of life. And we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful and help us to make it truly a time of prayer in which we listen to you. Prayer is that loving conversation with you in which we ask you for many things, we talk to you, and above all, we listen to you. And today we do our prayer about this great sacrament of mercy that you have given us, the sacrament of penance. And you gave it to the church on the very evening of your resurrection. It is, as it were, your first gift to the church after your resurrection, after your death on the cross, which won us redemption and all the grace we need. You gave us this sacrament so that when we fail, and we do, we can always go back and ask for forgiveness. You entered into the upper room and you told the apostles, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Receive the Holy Spirit, giving us the Spirit of life, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of sanctity, and giving the apostles the power and the role of judging whether they can forgive or not forgive. It is very rare that a priest hears a confession and can't forgive. It would only happen when it was clear that the person was not truly sorry. In almost every case, when a person comes to confession, of course they are sorry. And then the priest hears that confession. And Lord, in instituting it with those words that you said, it is clear that they had to hear the confession of each individual. Because how else could they judge? If you forgive the sins, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins, they are retained. They would have to hear the sins first. And that has always been the practice in the church. And in making it a sacrament, we go to the priest, we confess to him, and what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And Lord, some people contest this. They say, "Why can't I go straight to God? Why can't I confess my sins to God? Why do I have to go through a priest?" And the answer to that is, of course, we should confess our sins to God. And we do that whenever we tell him we're sorry, whenever we say an act of contrition. But we need more than that. We need to hear with our ears that we are forgiven. We are bodily beings. And Lord, that's why you instituted the sacraments. Outward signs, something visible, something we can hear, something we can see, something we can touch, so that we know that when we receive that sacrament, grace is being poured into our soul. So that, yes, we should confess our sins to you, and we should say many acts of contrition, but that's not enough. St. John Paul II in one of his Wednesday audiences in February of 1984, spoke about the importance of going to a priest. He said, "It is well to consider that despite the feeling of discomfort that ecclesial mediation can cause, it is a very human method, so that the God who frees us from our sins does not fade into a far-off abstraction, which would in the end become a colorless, irritating, and despairing image of ourselves. Through the mediation of the Church's minister, this God makes himself very close to us in the concrete reality of a heart that is indeed pardoned. Lord, you come close to us when we confess our sins to you and we hear your voice through the priest, 'I absolve you from your sins,' and then we know we are forgiven. You come close to us. You do not fade into a far-off abstraction." And John Paul goes on, "In this perspective, we come to ask whether the Church's instrumentality, instead of being contested, should not rather be desired, since it responds to the deepest expectations that are hidden in the human soul when one approaches God and lets himself be saved by him. That expectation that you will forgive us and that we will know that we are forgiven. And we wonder, how do non-Catholics manage? If we go directly to God, we can say, 'Lord, I'm sorry. You do forgive me, don't you?' And we listen and we don't hear anything. 'You do forgive me, don't you? If I were you, I would forgive me.' But we don't hear anything. And then, as St. John Paul II says, God fades into a far-off abstraction because we don't hear him. But in this sacrament, he comes close to us in the concrete reality of a heart that is indeed pardoned. And Lord, we thank you for giving us this sacrament so that we can go and tell our sins to the priest and know that we are forgiven. And of course, we have to be truly sorry. We can't just go through the routine of going, confessing our sins, going out and going back to sinning. And we listened to Pope Francis in a homily in his daily mass in the Casa Santa Marta in Rome in March of 2017. He was speaking about confession and the sorrow that we should have. He said, "If I ask, 'Are you all sinners?' 'Yes, Father, all of us.' And to obtain pardon for our sins, we confess. And how did the confession go? I go there, I say my sins, the priest forgives me, I'm given 3 Hail Marys to pray, and I leave in peace." "You have not understood," Pope Francis says. "You have only gone to confession to carry out a banking transaction or an office task. You have not gone to confession ashamed of what you have done. You have seen stains on your conscience and have mistakenly believed that the confessional box is like the dry cleaners that removes those sins. You're unable to feel shame for your sins. And Lord, help us to have true sorrow, not just to go through the routine of going to the dry cleaners, to the bank, to the office to carry out that task without any true sorrow, always sorrow, because we have offended you, our God, who art all good and worthy of all our love, our Savior, our friend, our Almighty God, who created this universe out of nothing. And we, the creature, have offended you, and you forgive us. But help us to be truly sorry. And implied in our sorrow is the purpose of amendment, that determination to try hard not to commit those sins again. If we have that true sorrow, then it is not just a banking transaction, taking our sins to the dry cleaner." And Pope Francis says, Entering into this mystery helps us to reform our lives. The marvel enters your heart. You have the power to enter into its knowledge. Otherwise, you leave the confessional, meet a friend, begin to talk and gossip about someone else, and continue sinning. And Lord, help us not to go out and continue sinning, but to have that resolution, that determination to try hard not to commit those sins again. And yes, we know we will fall because we're human, and you know that too, but at least we are going to try. We have true sorrow. And Lord, once again, we thank you for giving us this great gift of the sacrament of penance. The Curia of Ars, in his Catechesis on Confession, says, "My children, we cannot comprehend the goodness of God towards us in instituting this great sacrament of penance. If we had had a favor to ask of our Lord, we should never have thought of asking him that. But he foresaw our frailty and our inconstancy in well-doing, and his love induced him to do what we should not have dared to ask. If one said to those poor lost souls that have been so long in hell, 'We are going to place a priest at the gate of hell,' all those who wish to go out have only to confess. Do you think, my children, that a single one would remain? The most guilty would not be afraid of telling their sins, nor even of telling them before all the world. Oh, how soon hell would be a desert, and how heaven would be populated. Well, we have the time and the means which those poor lost souls have not." Lord, beautiful words, and help us to take good advantage of this great sacrament. And when we go to confession, we obtain so many, many benefits. And let us consider just 10 benefits of going to confession. I take these from my little booklet, Why Go to Confession, published by the Catholic Truth Society of London. And I've reduced them to 10 so that we have a round number. What do we gain from going to confession? First, forgiveness of our sins. The obvious fruit of this sacrament is forgiveness of our sins. The priest tells us, and we hear him, "I absolve you from your sins, and what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven." We are freed from that burden of sin. Second, sanctifying grace. All the sacraments give sanctifying grace that sanctifies, that makes us holy and pleasing to God. The very divine life within our soul. Our soul is lit up with that sanctifying grace. And Lord, if it were only to obtain sanctifying grace, we would do well to go to confession often. Third, the specific sacramental grace of this sacrament. Every sacrament, each one of the 7, gives us a particular sacramental grace proper to that sacrament. And the sacramental grace of confession is the grace to help us avoid falling again into the sins that we have just confessed. And we undoubtedly have experienced this, that when we go to confession, afterwards we do better in the area of the sins that we have confessed. And for this reason, too, it is so important to confess all of those important sins in our life. Of course, all the mortal sins, but the more important venial sins, too, because we are going to receive a special help to avoid falling again into those sins. And of course, we will fall, we know that. But at least we are helped greatly by the sacramental grace of the sacrament. Fourth, a new beginning in the spiritual struggle. We have that clean break. All of our sins are taken away. Our soul is clean and filled with grace. We start over. And it is such a big help in our spiritual struggle. A friend once said, "I don't know how non-Catholics do it, because we have this clean break with the sacrament of penance, and if they don't have confession, there's not a clean break. They will just go on sinning, perhaps being sorry, but sinning again, being somewhat sorry, sinning again, and in the end perhaps just giving up. There's no use. I will always be a sinner." Whereas we start over with every confession, and Lord help us for that reason too, to go often to confession. Fifth, the priest gives us some words of advice and encouragement. And this is so helpful. He might tell us how to avoid falling into that particular sin that we have just confessed. Or maybe we are getting discouraged because we're such big sinners, and he encourages us, keep on coming. The very effort you make to come to confession is sanctifying too. You are growing in holiness, even though, like all of us, you are a sinner. That advice and encouragement is spiritual direction, even though it may be very brief. Sixth, we grow in self-knowledge. In order to go to confession, we have to examine our conscience beforehand. We have to see what sins we have committed. And in doing that, we come to know ourselves. And it is so helpful in any endeavor to know where we need to struggle. A sports person has a coach. The coach points out particular weaknesses, and the person struggles to improve in those areas. In the spiritual life, the same. We need to know where our weaknesses are. Then we can address our struggle there. And the very examination of conscience that we do before confession helps us to get to know ourselves more. Seventh, we grow in the virtues of humility and sincerity. To go to a priest, to a fellow human being like us, and confess something that we find embarrassing, maybe it is a more serious sin, or there are so many sins, requires humility, that we bury our pride and that we say whatever we need to say. We exercise humility and sincerity. And those are fundamental virtues in our spiritual and human life. And if we can grow somehow in them, as we do when we go to confession, what a blessing that is. And sometimes people think, but I can't tell these embarrassing sins to that priest. I think he knows me. My own response to this is, when someone comes to confession, whether I know who that is or not, and they confess embarrassing sins, I am only edified. I think how good this person is, how humble, how sincere, able to say those embarrassing sins. And I forget the sins, and I think only of the humility and the sincerity. Let us never fail to go to confession because we are too embarrassed. We need this sacrament, and going to confession helps us to grow in humility and sincerity. Eighth, the priest gives us some little penance, perhaps three Hail Marys, as Pope Francis says, some other prayers, some action that we are supposed to carry out. It is small, but it helps to make up in part, at least, for the temporal punishment owing for our sins. Every sin, as we know, carries with it the need to do something, something small to make up for that sin. If we haven't made up for all the temporal punishment owing for our sins at the time of our death, we will go to purgatory, and we would rather not go there. And so this little penance that the priest gives us is important in helping to whittle away, little by little, the debt that we owe God of temporal punishment. And as we say that, we should be asking ourselves, how much penance do I live every day? Because we sin practically every day, or maybe many times a day. Are we doing penance, little acts of self-denial, mortifications, to make up for those sins? Or are we trusting in the mercy of God? And God is ever rich in mercy, but he asks us to do something. We should ask, too, why are there so many souls in purgatory? And it's simply because they haven't done sufficient penance. And yes, God is merciful. And part of his mercy is giving us that opportunity to make up after death for what we didn't do in life. Penance is so important. And this sacrament of penance helps us to make up, at least in part, for the temporal punishment owing for our sins, shortening our time in purgatory and perhaps eliminating it altogether. Ninth, confession often brings about true healing of soul. In this sense, that sometimes we can go to confession weighed down, discouraged, depressed even, or we can go with anger towards someone that has hurt us, with a desire of revenge. And in confession, often that is taken away. We are forgiven. The anger disappears. The desire for revenge, the sadness, the depression, the discouragement. We start over anew. We are healed in our soul. And tenth, as the fruit of all of these benefits, joy and peace. We know this every time we go, even if we go weekly with smaller sins, we experience the joy of having our sins forgiven and starting over. It is the joy of the prodigal son. And let us just read the end of that passage because we know the story. The young man asks for the share of inheritance that is his. He wants to go away and try a life of more freedom. Try something different. His father tries to dissuade him, but he lets him go because he is a true father. And when that son squanders all of the money, lives loosely, and finally decides to go back to his father and confess to him and to tell him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." He goes back to his father, and his father sees him coming, and St. Luke records, "While he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him." His father, God, Lord, you, when you see us coming back, run out to meet us. And then this son experiences the embrace, the kiss. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." He confesses to his father. But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." And they began to make merry. And Lord, isn't that an image of every one of us, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, coming back to you to confess our sins and receiving that embrace, that kiss, that celebration? What joy every time we go to confession. Help us to go often. And we take from this time of prayer two resolutions. First, the effort to go often. And if it's been a long time, that we race back to this great sacrament. And never to be afraid of going very regularly. As long as we are truly sorry, it's not just going to the dry cleaners, going to the bank for that transaction. We are truly starting over with that sorrow and that purpose of amendment. And then when we go often, we grow in holiness. Pope St. John Paul II said to priests hearing confessions in the Roman basilicas in Lent of 1981, the sphere of the use of the sacrament of reconciliation cannot be reduced to the mere hypothesis of grave sins. Apart from the considerations of a dogmatic character that could be made in this connection, we recall that confession periodically renewed, the so-called confession of devotion, has always accompanied the ascent to holiness in the Church. The confession of devotion. And some people were saying, we shouldn't do that. Yes, we should. Go often with that confession of devotion. And it always accompanies the ascent to holiness. We want to grow in holiness, in love. That's what prepares us for heaven. And it is an anticipation of heaven. Because the saint, the holy person, is the happiest person on earth. To go often, then we grow in holiness. And we know that the saints went often. St. John the 23rd writes in his diary that he went every week. St. Jose Maria went every week, and sometimes he said, I would go two or three times a week. And it wasn't that he had scruples. He just wanted to tell our Lord that he was sorry for something. He loved him so much that he wanted to tell him he was sorry, even when it was just some small matter. Lord, help us to go often as our first resolution from this meditation, and let us never tire of going back and asking for forgiveness. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, writes, let me say this once more. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. Christ, who told us to forgive one another 70 times 7, has given us his example. He has forgiven us 70 times 7. Time and again, he bears us on his shoulders. No one can strip us of the dignity bestowed upon us by this boundless and unfailing love. With a tenderness which never disappoints, but is always capable of restoring our joy, he makes it possible for us to lift up our heads and to start anew. And Lord, help us to go back often to this great sacrament of mercy. And the second resolution, to help others to go. So few people are taking regular advantage of this sacrament these days. And perhaps all of us know one or more or many people who have not been to confession for a long time. And Lord, maybe we are the only ones that can help them. We appreciate the value of the sacrament. We are their friends or their relatives. Help us to see what we can do to get them back. That little booklet, Why Go to Confession, that I mentioned before, was used by a good woman many years ago, who bought copies of the booklet to give out to her relatives in the effort of getting them back to confession. She would buy 5 or 6 copies at a time, and then she would take her relatives to confession in a parish where I and other priests were hearing confessions every Saturday afternoon. She would come in first, and she would say, Father, my uncle, my brother, my father is coming after me. And then after about a year and a half of doing this, she once said, Father, do you know how many people I have brought back to confession? And I said, no, how many? She said, 40. 40 people that she helped to come back to confession with the help of that booklet. And the booklet isn't necessary. What we know about confession, our own experience, is the most important. Lord, help us to identify people in our life, in our family, extended family, workplace, neighborhood, clubs and societies to which we belong, that we could help come back so that they too experience the joy of the prodigal son. And if it has been a longer time since their last confession, all the more important, what great joy they will experience. we go to Our Lady, Mary, Mother of Mercy, Refuge of Sinners. Help us to go often to this great sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of joy, the sacrament of penance, and help us to find others that we can bring back to this great sacrament, that together we can experience this joy, the joy that prepares us for the joy of heaven. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.